on. The altar again set me on fire.
Jesus.
Set me on fire. Cause here I am, God, arms wide open.
Yes, hallelujah.
Pouring out my life, gracefully broken. My heart, it stands in awe of your name, your mighty love stands strong to the end. You will fulfill,
Jesus,
your purpose in me. You won't forsake me.
Never.
You will be with me.
Yes.
Here I am, God, arms wide open.
Sunday.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know, I heard a minister say not too long ago, one of my favorite ministers, that in the scriptures, there's four chapters on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but on the resurrection, there's around seven times that many.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that the Holy Spirit gives great emphasis on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I want to start in that story from John. I was reading over, you know, in the Gospels, you know, different accounts of the resurrection. But I want to look at John chapter 20 this morning. It says, very early Sunday morning, before sunrise, Mary Magdalene made her way to the tomb. And when she arrived, she discovered that the stone that sealed the entrance to the tomb was moved away. So she went running as fast as she could to go tell Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loves, that would have been John. And she told them, they've taken the Lord's body from the tomb and we don't know where he is. And then Peter and the other disciple jumped up, ran to the tomb to go see for themselves. And they started out together. They was running together. But the other disciple outran Peter. That was John. And reached the tomb first. You know, I believe he did that because of his, the Lord's love for him. I mean, you know, when you realize how much the Lord loves you, I mean, you can run hard. He didn't enter the tomb, but peeked in and saw only the linen cloth lying there. And then Peter came right in behind him into the tomb. Peter, he just bust on in there. He just rolled on up in there. And he too noticed the linen cloth lying there, but the burial cloth that had been on Jesus' head had been rolled up and placed separate from the other cloths. And then the other disciple whom reached the tomb first, which was John, and after one looked in, he believed. He believed. For until then, they hadn't understood the scriptures that prophesied that he was destined to rise from the dead.
Amen.
Puzzled, Peter and the other disciples then left and went back to their homes. Mm-hmm. Mary arrived back at the tomb and was sobbing. And she stood there, you know, she was the first to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And Mary means beloved. You understand? Mary means blood. She stopped to peer inside, and through her tears, she saw two angels in dazzling white robes sitting where Jesus' body had been laid, one at the head and one at the feet. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" they asked. And Mary answered, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." And then she turned around. There was Jesus standing in front of her. But she didn't realize that it was him. And he said to her, "Dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" And Mary answered, thinking he was the gardener, "Sir, if you've taken his body somewhere else, tell me and I will go."
Uh-huh.
Mary, Jesus interrupted her. Turning to face him, she said, "Rabboni," or teacher. You know, the Holy Spirit brought to my attention yesterday, wherever we see the word teacher mentioned, it's a good place to study and learn something. And Jesus cautioned her, "Mary, don't hold on me now, for I haven't yet ascended to God my Father." Listen to this. This is what Jesus told her, the first words out of his mouth, once he addressed her, is Mary, or the beloved. You know, Paul always calls us the beloved. "He is not only my Father and God, but now he is your Father and your God. Mm-hmm. Now go to my brothers and tell them what I've told you, that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
Jesus.
He says, go tell them. He says this twice. Go tell them he's now your Father and your God. Mm-hmm. Then Mary Magdalene, and I looked up the word Magdalene, you know, he addressed her as Mary, you know. And then he goes on to tell the story, Mary Magdalene. I looked up Magdalene to see what that meant, that word meant in scriptures.
Uh-huh.
And Magdalene, or Magdalene, or Adigo, was a fishing town on the Sea of Galilee, which had a high tower, and it was called this tower the Tower of the Fish. This Tower of the Fish. You know, maybe it was like a modern-day lighthouse. Maybe they would light lights in this tower at nighttime for the fishermen, maybe to see or whatever, but a Tower of the Fish. You know, we as Christians, we're called fish, you know, more or less, but a tower for the fish. But I believe the Lord wants us to understand and see this. You know, she was the first one to see him. And this tower, you know, a tower is where you stand to see things, to see, you know, out on the great sea.
Yeah.
And I believe the first thing the Lord wants us to understand as disciples, that he is our Father and our God.
Ooh,
you know, that needs to go straight into our hearts. You know, Jesus taught us Our Father, which is in heaven, mm-hmm. hallowed be thy name. Yeah. You know, and then he goes on mm-hmm. in that, and he teaches us, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Everything you need.
Everything's there. But last time we met, I told I was going to speak some more on the glory. And,
can I say one word about the Father? Oh my God. When you, a true Father, you know, sometimes people have had earthly fathers that wasn't so good. But he said, I'm the good Father. Mm-hmm. And when you think of Father, you think of security. You think of provision. You think everything you need. When it's a good Father. Oh my God, when you just use that word Father, my mind just went, that's a whole new, when you, not just God, God is the creator, he's creator of every mind. But when you say Father, that's put another expectation on that.
And you know, he is our heavenly Father, and Proverbs tells us that God created the heavens through understanding. The heavens are created through understanding. Mm-hmm. And that tells me he's an understanding Father.
Ooh,
he understands
merciful.
Every hurt, merciful. Every pain, everything we need. He understands
a good Father, not like all the earthly fathers that might have been bad in some way. But he said he's the good Father. He's a good Father.
But I want to read this. This was from Brother Hagin. It was written in 1987. I'm going to read it real quickly. And the glory that would come in the last time. This is a prophecy of that glory that's come. And I believe we are entering in them days now.
Thank you, Jesus.
But it says, the seer shall stand on the horizon of time and see that which God has planned and known its purpose. Standing on the horizon of time, he shall look back into the realm of time and see that which the enemy has planned. Yea, saith the Lord of hosts. This is the time of restoration. This is the time of visitation, the time of fresh renewing, outpouring of the visitation of the Lord shall be greater in these days than it was yesterday, and the manifestation of his power and glory shall be 100-fold more than of yesterday. Manifestation of supernatural miracles shall increase 100-fold more than we've known in the past. Yea, the glory of God shall be seen upon the face of many, and many, without a word being spoken, just looking upon the face of the man of
Jesus.
God, shall fall down in repentance and cry out unto God. Members of that body, enhanced by the Spirit, on fire and maintaining the glow, men and women in the world shall look upon their faces and fall down and say, I don't know what makes me do this. You know, this is scriptural. If you read Psalms 18, that's scriptural. Yea, the power of God shall be in manifestation. You know, the glory of God, I want to say this before we go on. The glory of God, one of the purposes of the glory of God is to defeat the enemy. The glory of God defeats the enemy, just put it that way. Yea, the power of God shall be in manifestations, and your heart shall rejoice and be glad. And the work of God shall be consummated in many things that have been spoken. Even unto men of God who sit in the place and shake their heads and say, oh, that can't be so. The work of God coming into the spirits by the men and women of God. And they declared by human reasoning, listen, by human reasoning, that it's impossible. It can't be so. But yes, saith the Lord of hosts, all things are possible to him that believes.
Yes.
And with me all things are possible, and the impossible shall become possible. And even many have said, it is possible but not probable. Yea, even the probable shall come into manifestation, and your heart shall be made to rejoice, and your spirit shall be glad, and the word of God shall be enhanced, and the kingdom of God shall be advanced. And sitting upon the horizon of times, and looking not only in the realm of the spirit, and seeing that which transpires in the spirit realm, For the enemy goeth about as never before, knowing that his time is short. Thou shalt know and thou shalt share. And those who know how to pray will rise up at this hour. Mm-hmm. Prayer warriors, this is a call to prayer. And then intercede, and the forces of darkness shall be driven back, and the evil spirits and the power of the enemy that would encroach on the things of God and the people of God would be driven back. And so it is that the church shall stand tall in this hour and shall stand big in this hour and rejoice in his power and looking at the realm of time, not limited by time and space. Yea, look up. I looked and saw the hearts of men, and oh, they were disturbed and perplexed. I saw a black, dark cloud rise upon the eastern part of our nation. And it came out of the capital of our nation. And men responded into that darkness that rose and walked with it. And that darkness began to envelop this land. But oh, the hearts of many that know their God, sensed in the Spirit, and those that stand on the horizon of time shall sound forth a word of warning. And there shall rise the mighty ones, those called God, separated unto him. Let me back up and say this. How many of y'all's got y'all stimulus? Any of y'all? You know, we think, you know, all this great thing. But I've read where the stimulus, 9% of the money spent goes to the people. 91%, one senator wrote, goes to the socialistic, to bring in socialism. So every $1,400 you got, you're going to pay it back tenfold. You're going to pay back $14,000 to create a socialistic society. And the word of the Lord is to be consummated, and in those few short years to come will be consummated. There's a work here for a few short years. Consummated, and the work of the Lord shall be done. And so that work which shall be done in this hour, and the visitation of the Spirit, and that revival that is about to burst upon you, it shall surely come to pass. And many, many, many people shall be swept in the kingdom. And even in the places of this earth, seemingly uttermost darkness, the light shall shine, and men and women shall rise up and exercise the authority that is theirs in the earth. I missed a paragraph here. Let me go back and read it where I got talking about. It says, and so there shall rise the mighty ones, those called of God, separated unto him, and they shall make intercession. And the light shall shine and drive back that darkness. The evil, the wicked men shall fall. And there will be those, and remember this, I've told you in advance, it will be told in years in advance. This was in 1987, years in advance. There shall be those in high places who will fall down dead, and some shall say, oh, they would have been great leaders. I don't understand. But those who know the voice of the Spirit shall rejoice and be glad, for you shall know the dark, and that darkness shall be stayed, and the hand of the enemy has been defeated. You know, Jesus. That's what I was just talking about, socialism, you know, come forth in this nation. And if two or three you shall agree, you know, Deborah, you know, you got an agreement last week, right? If two or three more you shall agree on earth, in any nation, in any land, regardless of the government, regardless of the opposition, regardless of the darkness, if two of you on earth in North America, yea, South America, yea, Central America, yea, in Asia, in Europe, in Australia, behind the Iron Curtain, any nation on earth, if two of you shall agree as touching anything they ask, it shall be done to them of my Father which is in heaven, our Heavenly Father. Yeah. Praise
Thank
me.
You.
For whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And remember, it's the first heaven just above the earth where the demons and evil spirits are ruling whole nations. They must be bound. Isaiah 27:1-2. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And those spirits that dominate whole nations and that dominate in certain corners of this earth shall be bound, and light shall shine, and the Holy Ghost shall be poured out. And the revival that will come, and the hearts and lives of men and women shall be blessed, and whole nations shall be changed. And you shall enter into a new day, a new age, not a new age as man thinks. And you shall see that there shall be a manifestation at the end of this age, a portion, a measure of power, the glory that shall be manifested in the age to come. And you approach that time now, for these are the times of refreshing at the hand of the Lord, from the presence of the Lord, and the time of giving of the hand of the Lord, and the time of manifestation by the Holy Ghost and the glory of the Lord. So rejoice and be glad. Let not your hearts be sad, neither be pessimistic, but rather look forward to the future with optimism, with gladness and love. For the light has shined and the glory is revealed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That was Brother Hagin, 1987.
That's good. That's
you know, I believe we are upon those days. I'll say this real quickly. I was watching the other day the North Georgia Revival. Man, this pastor, he called his congregation to pray. The Lord told him, you know, fill your baptismal tanks up. I'm gonna put fire on them. People's been coming to that North Georgia Revival. You know, I've told you, you know, anytime there's instruction, there's power, right? The blind have been healed. People needed hips. They've received new hips. Cancer, stage 4 cancers. People walking out totally healed. Doctors saying it's happening. It ain't just, but the glory, the glory. Remember when Solomon built the temple, who are we, the temple, and he prayed, and the temple was full of glory to where men could not minister. It comes by prayer. You remember Jesus, when he taught us to pray, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, teaching us to pray, being always to pray. Lord, it's time to stand and pray. Miss Barry is talking about sit, walk, and stand. Ephesians tells us there in the end, above all, stand. Stand praying. Stand praying. Stand praying. We'll see the glory by stand praying. Stand praying. It's time, church. It's time. It's time. Brother Thurston, come on. I'm out of time.
Oh, wow.